I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether it's a trip to the gym, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5-minute pamper session, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. I'll speak to people who remind us to take better care of ourselves and people who will motivate us and inspire positive change. This podcast is made possible by Sally Hansen, the creator of which was an inspirational woman who promoted the message of self-care all the way back in the 1930s. Whether it's a quick tan application or a cuticle oil top-up, Sally Hansen wants us to have the power to feel like our best selves. This week on the Good Glow podcast, I talk to Lottie Ryan. 2FM presenter Lottie can do it all. She's presented on The Breakfast Show, currently presents the entertainment news across the day, and also works on Dancing with the Stars. She grew up in the public eye, of course, being the daughter of the great Jerry Ryan. She talks to me today about her amazing work ethic, how she totally trusts the universe, and how it felt to hear her dad's voice back on air when 2FM reopened the Ryan line for a 1-hour special in May. I hope you enjoy.
Lottie Ryan, I am thrilled you could join me on the Good Glow today.
Oh, thank you so much for making the time. I'm so happy to come in.
I reached out to you around the week that the Ryan line reopened. I was sitting at my desk and to hear his voice on the radio again, like, was such an amazing moment. And I was thinking of you and what you were doing. Where were you listening and what was it like for you?
Well, I had already heard it because it had already been run by the family. Okay. So I had listened to it. The first time I listened to it, I heard it in my boss's office. And I got a bit of a shock because it is very real. And that opening link is, you know, made to sound like he's there. Mm. And I'm not a very overly emotional person when it comes to the dead dad stuff. I'm it's kind of business for me when I'm around people. I go into a business mode. So it was really weird for me to have my breath caught and to be caught off guard like that, because I do listen to him quite a bit.
Okay.
Because I take lessons from him, I suppose. So it caught me off guard, but it was so fantastically him and amazingly done and put together. I couldn't not have said yes to it. So I played it for my family. They were all blown away by it as well.
So you heard it before they did?
I heard a bit of it before they did.
Okay.
Because I wanted to prep them for it. I wanted to prepare them that, you know, I've younger brothers and sisters and my mum as well. So I wanted to be able to say, you know, I'm just warning you, this is actually close to the bone. Mm. So just be ready for this one. And it caught an emotional chord with all of them, I think. So some of them couldn't listen to it all in one go. They had to take a couple of breaks and listen to it in stages. But we all agreed, Dad would absolutely love this. Like, it's like his Orson Welles moment. It's like he's back from the dead. It's so him.
Mm.
And so the people who put it together, JJ Hartigan and Willie, I think they had approached us on it like the year before. They spent months trawling through hundreds and hundreds of shows, finding words, single syllables, and linking them all together and editing it to make that happen. And I think it is an absolute credit to them. They did an amazing job.
An absolute masterpiece.
Yeah, they really, really, I mean, when he said it's 11 minutes past nine, it was 11 minutes past nine. Mm. It was just so perfectly done. It was a labour of love for the two of them. And I think also the fact that the topics being discussed on it was stuff that I think would stand on radio today spoke very well for him and what he was talking about at the time. So I think all in all, it was fantastic. It was really worth doing. I think he would have loved it.
It was amazing. And I think what got me was hearing this, the songs that are out now with his voice.
Yeah,
that's what got me.
That got me too.
I was like, oh, whoa, like that song just came out and there is his voice.
Yeah, it was those things I found weird as well. it was very it was a strange experience. When I listened to it live the second time, I found it even more difficult to listen to. But I think that could be because I was listening to it out of a radio, you know, and it felt very real. So I was by myself when I listened to it live, and I like cried the whole way through. But like, it was crying because I could see the reaction of people online as it was happening as well, and the love. I was just like, oh, I wish he could have seen this. I wish he knew how much people loved him. Like, it was incredible. It was really amazing.
He's an absolute icon. Talk to me about 2FM. Clearly you are so at home there. Mm-hmm. When I turn on the radio and I hear you with on Jenny's show now, and you're doing links with her, like, you're brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
So congrats on
that.
Thank
you.
You're clearly very comfortable. There's a good vibe in 2FM at the moment. And I spoke to Owen about this, that you're all very supportive of each other.
We are, like, we're a close team. You know, we have a great schedule on at the moment as well. We've just had a huge upheaval. Like, it's unusual for the schedule to change quite as much as we've done it recently. So we are all really close and supportive of that new kind of road and journey we're all going on. And we're very acknowledging of the fact that we're doing it together. Like, for me to succeed, somebody else has to succeed. We all need to succeed for it to work. And I feel like a lot of us who are there at the moment are all the people who were there since the kind of birth of the new 2FM, which is how many years ago now? Like, maybe five, six years ago at this stage. So we've been on this huge journey together of overturning the station into something that sounds completely different to what it was. So I think we all feel, and you know, I'm locked in a room with some of these people for hours on end. I kind of have to get along with them.
Owen and Ciarán, they've obviously hit the ground running, rave reviews. The show is great.
Yeah, I think they've completely hit it off, and they've done an incredible job so far with the breakfast show. I mean, my advice to the two of them was nap as much as is humanly possible, because it's not easy. You know, those work hours are not normal, and you can't expect yourself to have a normal life when you're doing them. So I think that in itself is something that deserves a pat on the back. I don't know if people realize the commitment and the life choice it takes to get up at that hour and entertain people with that kind of energy and positivity at that time of the morning. It's a big ask of people, and they do it really, really well.
I think people were waiting to see what you were going to say when the new schedule was announced. And when you sent out that Instagram, I was like, that's amazing. You have a really good attitude. And I kind of got how great it is for you to work across all the shows.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like, I had my breakfast show. I mean, I was on breakfast for a long time. And I think you can only do those hours, first of all, for a short period of your life. And I wouldn't have thought it then, but now that I'm kind of coming out of that cloud of those work hours, I realise how all-encompassing and borderline suffocating it was, you know, for a period. Because you give it, well, I gave it everything. I gave it every inch of myself because I loved it so much, and I'd worked for so many years to get to that point. And I was working with people like, you know, Jennifer Zamparelli, who I just think is one of the most talented women around at the moment. And I wanted to be up to the mark with them, you know, and I got to do that for a very long time. And when, you know, it's not good to be in the same place for too long. You need to challenge yourself. You can't get too comfortable. So when it was time for change, I knew my time at this time has been wonderful, but it's done. It's time to move on. It's time to explore other parts of the day. And it's time to kind of open my eyes out of this cloud for a while and see what other opportunities there are and, you know, start working across the schedule again. And I think that that's an amazing opportunity. And I think breakfast for Ciarán and Owen is an amazing fit. I just think they've embraced it with both hands, and the way the new schedule is going, I think it works really well, and I'm happy for everyone, genuinely happy for everyone.
That definitely comes across. When you describe breakfast radio as a cloud, I definitely understand. At the moment, I'm reading the news on the breakfast show on 98FM. So it's up at 4:45, out the door, sitting at my desk by about 5:45.
Yeah.
And it's just so hard after a while. It because it's not just... It's not just for that part of the day that it's hard. It's like you're eating your dinner at 7:30.
Yeah.
And you're like, I have to go to bed in 30 minutes.
I know.
You know, it's this kind of you're kind of feel frantic all the time.
Do you know what? Even I felt as I got, routine was really important for me to make it work. So once I developed my routine with breakfast, I found, okay, I can do this. This is, I've got my routine going. I know how to do this. I know how to be up with energy. I know how to nap. I know how to get this going. I'm on top of this. What I struggled with was other people not understanding my lifestyle. You know, I couldn't go out with people. You know, and friends get annoyed with you, you know, and I'd have to, you know, schedule in naps the way some people schedule in going for lunch with their mates. And I'd actually have to be honest and say, I actually can't do that. I have to go to bed, or I have to take an hour long nap, or I need to do. And it sounds so ridiculous to somebody who has never been in the position of working any kind of shift work, but that is just the way you have to do it to survive and to stay sane. And so as my husband could still see good parts of me, and that I wasn't giving every part of me to 4 hours in the morning, mm-hmm. you know, that I still had something left to give at dinner time in the evening and go to the cinema and stuff. So I think it was more, I struggled with other people understanding this is just the way my life needs to be right now, and please just accept it and be kind about it, you know.
And were you good at looking after yourself? Like, you obviously were very mindful of the naps and sleeping well and things like that.
I tried, you know, it took a while to get there though, like, because I spent a couple of months trying to power through the day and trying to take on a million projects and, you know, pursue so many different things. And it took me a while to accept I actually need to just focus this, and I need to start timing me time the way I used to schedule, time to do other things. And that took a while to get used to. But once I started getting used to it, it was easy to do. It really was just trying to explain to other people, you just need to be okay with me doing this. You know, this is for me and I'm okay with it. So you should be okay with it. You know, I don't know why you have a problem with this if I'm okay with it. Like,
so you've gone back to a normal life now.
Yeah.
And you probably get full 8 hours sleep
a
night.
Yeah, I do. And it's amazing. It's really amazing.
Is your energy different?
My energy is completely different. Like, completely different. I'm not falling asleep during the day. You know, it's just, it is completely different. Now, in saying that, I was never unhappy when I was doing my other schedule. I couldn't have been happier when I was doing it, you know. But I think it's nice to get a break. It's nice to be out of it. That's not to say I won't have crazy work hours again in the future. But right now, in this moment, I'm enjoying having a normal-ish schedule, you know.
Do you trust in the universe and things happening
for a reason? Absolutely. I think you have to. I think you'd go crazy at certain things that happen in your life if you didn't step back from them and say, I don't know what the reason for this happening right now is, but I have to accept it's a good reason, and hopefully it'll show itself pretty soon so as I feel good about it. But, you know, I do think when bad things happen or difficult things in your life, I think it's really hard, but I do think you do have to step back and say, I'm not sure why, but there is a why.
Your family have obviously been in the spotlight for years and years and years. What was that like growing up?
I mean, I didn't know any different, I suppose. And we were really sheltered as kids. You know, we grew up in the same area, primary schools and secondary schools. So I had the same friends for most of my life. And I don't think I understood our family to be anything different to the family next door until I got a bit older, I think. So I think for most of my life, it was just, you know, no big deal. I didn't really know anything different, I suppose. I don't really know when I started to notice it being different. It was probably maybe towards the end of towards the end of secondary school, I'd say. I was able to get free tickets to concerts and things, and my mates weren't, so that was kind of cool.
That's what life is all about.
Isn't it? That's all I cared about, really, to be honest.
Your mum is so beautiful. Your sisters are gorgeous. You go to the VIP Style Awards together and things like that. Like, do you have little traditions? Like, every Sunday you go to your mum's house for dinner or things like that?
Yeah, we do Sunday lunch in my mum's house every week. So everyone comes to Sunday lunch. If you don't, God help you for the next week in the family WhatsApp group.
Okay.
That's our way of like reconnecting, catching up on each other's lives. And, you know, we bring our partners with us. And my mum loves having everyone all around in the house and having the Sunday lunch for everyone. The VIP Style Awards is kind of the only event that we all go to together every year, and I think it's because it's just glam. You know, we love getting ready is half the fun for us as a group of girls. It's nice to do things like that, I think, with your sisters and your mum, if you're still able to, and like, long may it last. We also go on holidays together every year still as a family. Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah, I mean, we kill each other, but we also love each other. So
I was just on holidays with my family, actually. My brother just got engaged.
Oh.
And I don't know if it's just because I was sick, but last week I was just like, this is incredibly special that we're all here. And I think I've come to the age where I just appreciate those moments. You're obviously an incredibly close family and your sisters are doing great. You just keep getting closer and closer.
Yeah, I think because I mean, my youngest sister is, and I hope I get this right because she'll kill me, I think she's 19. She's 19. There's five of us, okay? There's a lot of us. Like, I'm 33 and she's 19. So there's a big life gap there in the middle. So of course there's going to be years where some of us connect better, and so, you know, we rub up against each other the wrong way sometimes, but like, that's just normal family stuff. But I do find at the moment, because everyone is coming into the adult stage of their life, that we definitely have a different connection to what it used to be, because the teenage years are always going to be difficult, you know, in a family like that. But I think it's in a good place right now. Everyone's a little bit older, a closer, you know, moving out, people moving out of the family home. So it's a new time, and I hope we always stay that close.
What's it like to have sisters? Because I don't have any. I always feel like I'm missing this best friend. Like, I have my best mates, but I've always felt like I've missed out on that closeness of a sister.
I think, yeah, I mean, my sisters are my best friends. Like, I know if I need an honest opinion, I'll get it from my sisters. They're the people who call you up on things. They're the first people to pat your back when you do well. You can rob their clothes, you know. I can't imagine not having my sisters. They're just the ones I go to for advice. And when something goes wrong, I go to my mum. Like, I have different people in my family that I go to for different things. So I know someone who's really good at career advice. I know somebody else who's really good at, like, when I'm having a fight with my husband. I know somebody, you know, there's somebody for everything. Because there's so many of us. So that's kind of cool.
That's so amazing. You've always been quite private about your husband. And I remember I read a couple of weeks ago, Lottie Ryan shares rare photo from her wedding or something like that. Did you, where did that decision come from that you were going to just keep something for yourself?
I think probably because I went through a phase of my life where things I didn't want public were really public, and stuff going on in my life. And, you know, whatever about me and my brothers and sisters and my mum having to deal with that stuff, you know, that's what we were born into. That's what my life is. That's fine. I accept it. It's grand. He doesn't have to go through that stuff, and nor should his family have to go through that stuff, and they deserve that to be respected. And I think I'm so protective, he's too special for, I wouldn't be able to handle it if he had to go through any of that kind of stuff. I just don't feel like he needs to have to go through any of it. I'm just very protective of it, I think. It's not to say I'm not protective of my siblings and stuff, mm-hmm. but I feel like that's what they were born into, and that's just how they've had to grow up. Whereas Fabio is different. You know, I don't think he, I don't think anybody really has a right to him if he doesn't want it, you know.
You went to work in New York on The Good Wife.
Yeah.
Long shifts. Mm. What was that like?
Yeah, it was eye-opening. I was just fresh out of college and I kind of had this idea in my head that I need to have something on my CV that makes me stand out from other people. How am I going to get the gigs in the business? And I thought, oh, maybe I'll get work experience in like RTE or in TV3 or somewhere here. And I thought, but like everybody's going to have that. I want something better. So I said, I'm going to go to the States and try and get something in the States. So I was applying left, right and center with NBC and everywhere. And I got in with CBS and they said, listen, we've got this new show. It's called The Good Wife. We're about to start season one. Would you be interested in working as a runner on it? So I kind of was like, yeah, definitely. I knew, like, I didn't know who was in it yet. I didn't, because it was season one. They hadn't really started recording. And I rang home and said, I've got myself a job. I'm working for CBS on The Good Wife. And everyone was like, oh, we kind of thought you'd get Saturday Night Live or something. I was like, no, it's a real job, I swear. Like, they won a Golden Globe after season one. So I was pretty happy.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And like, you always hear, oh, I was a runner. Or this person was, like, what does a runner actually do?
Like, it literally means running around after people. It's, let's be honest, I was a slave for like, like you could be doing anything from lugging a lighting rig around to getting people their sandwiches and coffees to holding something for a director to going photocopying scripts. You can, whatever you are asked to do, you just do it. And it was those couple of months I learned more than I did in my 5 years in college. It was a huge eye opener. And especially in New York, I mean, they are work obsessed, and it instilled a good work ethic within me, I think.
How long were the days?
They're like, they start off on the Monday as 16-hour shifts. And as the week progresses, depending on how many pickups they need to do in terms of scene collection, like it can, it bleeds into Saturday usually. So you'd get like one day off maybe.
Whoa, that's intense.
But yeah, so I think, yeah, it's intense. So people on set are married, you know, they're all like, because how could you have a life outside of that?
Mm.
So there'd be camera women and sound engineers who are all like husbands, wives, you know, and that's just what their life is.
And did you get to do anything outside of that in New York, or were you like working, sleeping?
Well, you don't get paid really to be a runner. So I had to work in a hotel at a reception desk to try and earn some money. So I was kind of like double jobbing as much as was possible, because obviously I couldn't work too many hours outside of The Good Wife. But so between that, I didn't really do much. Like, I slept and then I'd go out and work, and that was kind of it. Like, I knew I was there to work. I wasn't mm-hmm. there to see the culture. I wasn't there to make mates and to, you know, have a good time. I was there to work, get the experience. I knew what I wanted, I needed for my CV, and I just kind of put my head down and went for it.
And did you live alone there?
No, I lived with Fabio.
Oh, okay.
And he worked in this like fabulous interior architecture place on Fifth Avenue, living the absolute dream. So I hated him. He's like, oh, I was just on Fifth Avenue today, working in some famous actor's apartment, doing a new door for them. I was like, oh my God, get away from me.
At least you had each other though.
Totally, yeah.
Were you tempted to stay in New York?
I'd no money left.
You had to come
I
home.
Had to come home. Like, I'd no money left. We came home, it was Christmas time. We were like, we go home for Christmas, maybe we'll spend a couple of weeks, we'll work and try and earn some more money to go back, but we just ended up not going back.
So then when you got home, did you feel like you'd learned enough to go for it?
I felt I had enough to give it a shot, or to at least spoof my way into something. Like, I knew I could go for it. I knew I could give it a go. And a couple of weeks maybe it was a couple of months afterwards, they were screen testing for an entertainment reporter on The Daily Show, which was a new afternoon show with Claire Byrne and Doughty O'Shea on RTE. And I said, I'll go and do the screen test. And I tested for it and got the gig. And then that was that. Like, I didn't go back then.
And so you went then from that show then to 2FM?
I went from that show to 2FM. Yeah. I started doing bits of entertainment on 2FM while I was doing these TV stuff. And I was very, very hesitant to do the stuff on 2FM. I had to be kind of convinced of it because I really wanted nothing to do with radio. I'd specialised in television. My experience was television. I was working in television. I didn't want to go near radio. And they kind of tempted me over, oh, we just want you to do the bits you're doing on The Daily Show once a week for us. And I was like, oh, I don't know.
And why were you reluctant?
I was so afraid of judgment. Mm. I was so afraid of judgment. Like, looking back, I just wish I hadn't cared so much about what other people thought. And I just tried so hard to stay away. Which is funny how things come full circle, because when you just end up accepting where the universe is trying to put you, things happen for you, you know. But I tried so hard to push it away, and it kept kind of clawing back at me. So I kind of was like, okay, I'll do a little bit here, I'll do a little bit there. And suddenly the radio stuff just started to outweigh the telly stuff. And next thing, I was doing like a breakfast show on the weekends and entertainment once a week, and then they wanted entertainment every day, and then it was a full day thing, and you know, it just kind of grew and grew.
And then did you become more accepting of like where the universe was pushing you?
Yeah, but it took me a while.
Is it because like people were comparing you to your dad?
Yeah, I think everybody wanted to say, oh, but aren't those shoes a bit big to fill? I was like, I'm not trying to fill anybody else's shoes. Like, I am not my dad, you know, let me be me. Let me just have my own shoes. You know what I mean? Like, so I felt as if I'll be fighting that battle forever. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want to take the battle on. So I think for a long time, I just thought, you know what? Life is too short. I'm not fighting battles. I'm not explaining myself to people for the rest of my life and trying to justify what I want to do and what makes me happy. But then things changed. I just stopped caring. I just said, I don't care anymore what people think.
And 2FM probably became more of your home than feeling like you were in your dad's home.
Well, the station changed.
Yeah.
So again, like, how fun the timing of it was, just bizarre to me that everything completely changed. Yeah. At the time that I was coming into it. A lot of really weird things in terms of timing happened over the next few years that I just couldn't argue with. And I felt like, I have to let this happen. I have to give myself to this now.
Because I'm reading this book, Gabby Bernstein, The Universe Has Your Back. And it says, she says, sometimes you just have to get out of your own way.
Mm.
And if everything is pulling you in a certain direction. And then she also speaks about leaning towards joy and not leaning towards fear. And sometimes in my life, like, it's easier to lean towards fear, but to lean towards joy, it feels sometimes like you're jumping out of a plane, because the safety is in the fear.
And it's not, I think, a feeling that we sit comfortably with. Because there's almost, how long is this going to last? When's the bad thing going to happen? When are they going to catch me out? When are they going to say something? When, you know, it's like there's a time limit on that. But we would never feel that way about fear, because our bodies, I think, are so accustomed to it at this stage. Constantly worrying about judgment from people from so many different forms, you know, because of our phones now, constantly being judged by people. So I think it's a very freeing place to get to a point where you go, I just don't care anymore.
Mm.
I don't care what you think. I am doing this for me and I am happy. And I know I am doing what I am meant to be doing. So other people then suddenly go, oh, okay.
I think, do you think there's less judgment around nowadays? I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like people are more accepting of, we're all more accepting of each other.
I think so, yeah. But I wonder, is it because we're also more outspoken about things and being more vocal when we're hurt or when we feel judged and telling people that, as opposed to keeping these things locked in inside and not really vocalizing what we're really thinking and feeling. And I think that's something that I probably learned to do, was to vocalize it and say, I'm not trying to be somebody else. And that kind of shuts people up.
Jennifer Zamperali is clearly one of your best mates. Is she a rock for you?
Oh, absolutely. She's just, I think she's like Wonder Woman. I just think, like, I don't want her to listen to this now because she just got a big head. But I do think she is like a Wonder Woman. Like, she's a mum. She's like, she's able to juggle so many balls at once. And I just think she's a bit of a powerhouse. And I love how she operates in terms of what she wants and not caring what other people think. You know, she doesn't have a huge filter, and I love that about her. I trust what Jen says to me, and there's very, very few people I trust, especially in terms of opinions on me and my life. And she's probably one of the few people whose honesty I believe, and I trust her guidance.
She probably appreciates that you're there with her now, and as she's going on to this new show, and it's probably really nice for her to have you in studio with her.
I hope so. It's nice being back in studio with her, because I missed it because there was a couple of months in the interim where we weren't in studio together, and we'd been in studio, myself, Jen and Keith, for like 4 hours a day for like a year and a half or something. So to suddenly not be together like that was, you know, that takes a little bit of getting used to. So it was really nice to be back in studio with her. And we understand each other on air. So I think when we are discussing topics, I just think there's a nice flow. We have a good conversation together. We know each other's buttons to push. And I love being in studio with her. Like, I love being on air with her. She's good crack.
Photos that came out when the new 2FM schedule was announced, and you guys were all standing on the roof of somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Was it? I'm afraid to say the wrong place.
The Dean, was it?
It was in Ranelagh.
Oh, the Devlin. And O McDermott was the only guy. I think it was a real statement.
I think so too. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that statement. I think we are like a very strongly opinionated, good group of women. And Owen's well able for us, not a bother on him. But it's an incredible group of women. And I'm so proud to be standing with them in that lineup. And I think the station is so proud to have that as our lineup. And it's been a long time coming. There's been many, many years where the schedules in multiple stations across the country have been 90% male dominant. So I think for people to make a big deal about the fact that it's female dominant is a little bit like, well, hang on a second, lads, let's take a look at the history. Mm-hmm. This has taken a long time to get here. And I think it's also not just about actually male and female. It's about, if you forget about the sex, the strong voices, that's all that really matters. They just so happen to be women in that station at the moment. So male or female aside, you know, they are really, really good voices and good opinions and good people. They happen to be women. They happen to have boobs. You know, that's just life. Like,
talk to me about your self-care and how you look after yourself. Obviously, you're glowing, you're beautiful. Oh. Do you make much time for yourself? Do you do yoga, meditation?
I tried meditation, I tried yoga, I tried mindfulness. They just didn't really work for me.
I try meditation all the time.
Like, I try,
it's hard.
It's really, really hard. And they say when you can't do it and when it's hard is when you need it the most.
Really?
Yeah. So, but I just wasn't getting from it what I was looking for from it. Mm. I'm kind of more an active person. So for me, I go to the gym. Like, I recently started spin classes and I leave those classes feeling like really, really good. Yes, I want to vomit, but I also feel like I have been solely concentrating on physically getting through something for whatever 30 or 40 minutes, and my mind wasn't allowed to go anywhere else, and I wasn't allowed to pick up my phone. And that's a really hard space for me to get my head into. And I know that some people can get there by crossing their legs and doing yoga, but I can't. My mind will still drift to, did I write back to that email? Whereas when I'm doing something that physically pushes me to my limits, my brain can only concentrate on that. So for me, that's kind of my place of zen.
That's amazing, because Dieran's like that as well.
She's
Yeah, she's like, she needs to just go for a run, because she's like, no, meditation and yoga, it actually just stresses me out more. So she needs to just let it all out in a really like physical way.
Yeah, that's how I feel as well. Yeah, that's just what works for me.
Would you say that you're a person that likes to be surrounded by loads of people, or are you more kind of like riding solo?
I'm riding solo.
Yeah, so am I.
I'm a loner. Yeah, like I've like a really, really small group of friends, and I'm just like, I actually probably am the kind of person who gets a bit anxious in crowds. I'm just so comfortable in my little box of a radio studio with like one or two other people. That's just like what my nature is. I don't like big groups. I don't cope well in them. I don't think it's just not my natural tendency. I'm kind of a bit of a not a loner. I'm making myself out to be weird. I'm just a more chilling in kind of person, I think.
What's your favorite thing to do at the weekend?
To chill. Mm-hmm. I like to go out for dinner, go to the cinema, go for a walk in the park. I like to like recharge my batteries at the weekend and make family time.
Because I interviewed Alison Canavan and she spoke about what are the things we're not saying yes to, as opposed to, you know, at the moment we're all like, no, it's okay to say no. But she was like, what are we not saying yes to? So I'm the type of person that would just be happy on my own and not push myself and like not go for that lunch and not go for that yoga session with my friend. So I am like such a loner that I love, you know, just being on my own.
I'm the same. I'm the exact same. And it's funny that, because my mum says that to me all the time. She'll say yes to things, say yes to going out with those people or doing that thing or whatever. So yeah, maybe I do need to say yes a bit more. Jennifer is actually always telling me to say yes to more things as well. So maybe that's something I will work on a bit more now.
It's the human connection, because
yeah,
when you just say you go out for that lunch that you keep putting off, and then you're like, oh my God, that was amazing. I feel amazing after meeting up with that person.
Which is really important. It's for me, it's too easy to say, do you know what? I just love a cup of tea and to put on Netflix and to just, you know, absolutely relax and turn my head off and just chill if I have the time to do so. And you're right, I probably should say yes to the lunch and make more of an effort. And I think maybe I got into a comfort place of not doing that when I had a harder working schedule time wise. So maybe now that's part of my new leaf with my new times, is that I will be able to say yes more.
You've spoken about how it really annoys you when people ask you the baby question. And I can see where that comes from, because I suppose when I got married, the same thing was happening to me. People were like, oh, are you going to have a baby soon? And then I had Pia, and then I was putting myself under pressure. As soon as I had her, I was like, I wonder when we'll have another baby. And because I think society, you just keep going and what's next, and we never enjoy the moment. And then I got cancer and I was forced to stop, to look around me and just be okay with what I had.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are just putting themselves under pressure just to keep going for the next step instead of just taking a minute to just appreciate life the way it is.
Absolutely. I agree with you so much. I feel like, and it is particularly once you're in a romantic relationship, because once I had been with Fabio for a number of years, it was constant, when you get engaged. The minute we got engaged, or when you're setting a date, the minute we were married, when's it going to happen? And it's just, you know, all these things go by so quickly. Like, I can't believe my engagement is gone. I can't believe I'm already married. And you have to be able to stop and let these things sink in and take a moment. And you also don't know what's ahead of you. Like, I don't know what's going to happen to me next year, where my life is going to be, what my circumstances are. So I don't like to plan too much in advance in that sense. So I find it freaks me out sometimes when people keep saying, oh, you're in your 30s now, you better start thinking and planning, you know, when are you going to start having a family and, you know, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, but that's just not where my head is right now in my life. And I can't give you a date because I don't know what's coming down the road. So I think it's so important to just stop and be in the moment and be grateful for what you have. And, you know, try to take in now. You don't know when the things you have could be gone. And you don't know what tomorrow holds. So I think it's, and I just think, you know, people don't know people's circumstances and situations either. So it can be a rude question, I think, for some people, you know?
Yeah. You seem really happy and content where you are right now. You were working on Dancing with the Stars. You seemed really at home on TV.
Oh,
you sound really at home on radio. And like, I always feel like people, like with me in the radio, people are like, you're such a radio person. Do you feel like you may go down the TV route?
Yeah, I do think so. I have a few ideas. I'm hoping I'll be able to make happen this year. I think I will step back into TV. I think my first love is always going to be radio. I love the freedom it gives you. I love how much you can express yourself and your opinion. I just love it. It's just my...
And it's that connection, isn't it, with the person that's
listening?
It's
such an intimate connection. Mm-hmm. And it's people letting you into their homes, you know, or their cars. And it's a privilege to work in, I think. Television is very fun and sparkly, and it's tempting, and, you know, it's exciting. And I do think we live in an industry where the pond is so small, you've no option but to sometimes dip your toe into multiple pools. So I think if the right projects were able to happen, I would love to get back into television. Yeah.
But at the moment, you are trusting the universe.
At the moment, I'm trusting the universe. Yeah, there's some things I've had in the back of my mind for television for a few years now, and they haven't happened yet, and there's a reason for it. But I feel things are starting to reveal themselves to me that I'm going, hang on a sec, I think this is the time now. Now this is the time for that. So again, I think patience and waiting for the universe to give you the space for something to happen is important.
I've absolutely loved every second of our chat today.
Thank you.
It's
so
been
have I.
Amazing to have you on the Good Glow. Lovely to get to know you. And thank you so much for everything.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast, made possible by Sally Hansen. To discover more, you can shop the products in Macaulay Health and Beauty Pharmacies and other stores across the country now. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe so you can be the first to hear about new ones. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a review. To all my listeners in Ireland and those of you around the world, thank you for the amazing support and continued feedback. You can find out more about my story on thegoodglow.ie and follow me on Instagram at georgie.crawford.